I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about not growing weary in doing good. Because if we keep going, we keep persisting, in due time we're going to reap. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, just asking for God's help to stay encouraged, to stay on track when we're doing good in those times where it seems like we're doing good and we're on track, but we're not seeing the fruit of it just yet. To stay consistent and immovable during those times. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading the book of Proverbs one morning. In Proverbs 13:22, just seemed to jump off the page at me. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing we could pass on would be wisdom for how to truly live. How do we walk out this life that God has given us? And I made a commitment that day. I want to create lessons and systems and teaching and training for every area of life that I can pass on, for purpose and health and family, finances, order, time, community, all the different areas of life. And I made a commitment that day, but when I got started, really, I had no clue where to start. I was running my personal training gym business at the time, and my own life was just kind of all over the place. I really needed some help in my own life at the time as well. But God was so faithful. He just began to teach me and to train me. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this program that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint. And out of everything that we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our remembrance, to make his sacrifice active and relevant and alive right now in this present moment today. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26, that every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice, to pull that into our mind and imagination and remembrance, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice, that we can release our faith into, and it unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus and all that he went through. But I also think it's important in that process of the fear of the Lord that when we remember, when we imagine, that we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember all that he went through, all that he suffered. He was pierced, he was bruised, he was crushed by God, he was smitten by God, so that God could fight for us. God could be on our side. We could be connected to him. We have this new covenant with him. I think it's important to remember both sides of all that he did for us, all that he went through, and all that that sacrifice made available for us. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves. They don't discern the body before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we take it in the fear of the Lord, if we take it in true faith, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical health and fitness tips and advice. Because I truly believe all the principles of health and fitness for nutrition and sleep and energy and exercise are meant to teach us how to apply our faith, how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and get it flowing through us where God's doing the work. And then once we understand how to apply that, we can apply it into all the other areas of our lives as well. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Because we have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him, it's got to be brought down into today to impact all the areas of our life today. The things that we do, the decisions that we make, the things that we're thinking about, the things that we're speaking. And that's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. And when we take our position, it gets us in position to receive from God. Think about a quarterback and receiver. The receiver runs the wrong way and the quarterback throws it the other direction. If the receiver is out of position, he can't receive. Taking our position in the light allows us to receive all that God has for us. And we're going to start with humility. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle, stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting all this pressure on ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving other people the same love and grace and forgiveness God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, not growing weary in doing good, always assuming the best, keeping no records of wrong, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting. And today, as we'll talk about, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. Gratitude and praise, one of the easiest ways to just maintain our position all day long, to stay positioned in gratitude and praise throughout the day. And when we take our position, we're stepping into the light, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. He put it all in him, and we have this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. So this day today, there is this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has, this pipeline of living water that's available to be received and flow through us today, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, His health and energy, time and finances, his kingdom, his purpose, it's all in there. We have to learn how to receive it and get it flowing through us, where he's doing the work through us. So our first step is to get in position. Our second one is to magnify the light. To magnify the light. We're going to make it bigger and greater. This is like the dimmer switch on the light switch. We're going to turn up the brightness of it. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to help to get this new covenant established in our hearts, where we understand it. And we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things that I'm repeating? What am I rolling over in my mind consistently? What am I consistently speaking about? What are the consistent actions and behaviors that I have? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word. Be thinking about it and talking about it, rolling it over on the inside. We can magnify his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got peace with God. His blessing and favor are on our lives, and he wants to help. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure of jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well, looking back at how far God has already brought us. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to sustain it. He's going to see it through to completion. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our own minds, trying to figure it all out, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, or we snap at people. Maybe we withhold good things that we know to do, or we avoid people, or we give them the silent treatment, all because they did something we didn't like, or we've got some kind of pressure on us, and maybe they didn't even do something. We just got this internal pressure on the inside, so we snap at them or respond in an unloving way, a non-graceful way. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. It's supposed to be loving other people, giving them the same grace God has given us. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry. There's this torment in our minds. We're trying to just toil away in our mind, trying to figure it all out. Dread of the future, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. And we get stuck in these vicious cycles that seem to just keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. When we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless, because it's his spirit and power and peace and joy and love and energy all just begin to flow through us. And now all of a sudden we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. He begins to go to work and begins to beautify our lives as he does the work. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around, to get back into the light again. Because every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to get us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we get off track. And it's learning to recognize those symptoms and to turn it back around quickly. How do we do it? We start with humility. Father, forgive me. I'm off track right now. I'm missing it right now. I'm off track. we receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves in the middle. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else or take steps to reconcile a relationship, we take those steps. And then you start praising and thanking him, start magnifying him for his love and his grace and his goodness. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever is coming at me today. Help me to tap into it and cultivate it at a greater level so that I respond in a beautiful, graceful way when these things come at me today. You pray that very simple prayer. You'll feel this immediate shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. Your energy levels will rise up. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. And then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned into that. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. We've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. Lately, we've been talking about at the top of your journal, putting some kind of filters in place. These filters, think of them like true north on a compass. They help guide us back on track if we're ever getting off track. One of the filters we've talked about, you could write this short phrase at the top of your journal. God is doing continually good for me, and I'm going to do the same for others. I'm going to give them the same grace God has given me. And you write that filter and you keep it top of mind every night before bed. And then when those temptations come throughout the day to forget or to worry because some situation's coming, we forget that God's working behind the scenes, or someone does something that we don't like, we're tempted to retaliate, snap at them or give them the silent treatment, avoid them. I've got that reminder. I've got that filter that's guiding my behavior. I'm going to do continually good for other people, just like God's doing for me. And then I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen and reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into mind, just begin to write that down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in today. He's trying to lead us and navigate us throughout the day, but we got to stay tuned into him. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection, just slow down for a minute or two. Get charged up, get powered up in him again. It just takes a couple minutes. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to stick with what I know to do today. Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I was toiling away, trying to figure things out, trying to force it to happen. And I was getting out ahead of him. On the other side, I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And I would get behind God in those areas. And so before bed every night, I'll make out the plan for the day, for the next day. What do I know to do today? You write out the list, and you wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. First thing in the morning, we're going to get connected to him through his word. We're going to start praising him and magnifying him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together in partnership with him today. With a willing heart and a good attitude and full confidence in him. That place of the confident faith, just that simple childlike faith that God is with me. He's working for my good. He's with me in everything that I do today. And when we get to that place of the simple, childlike, confident faith, all that doubt and unbelief removed, this grace begins to surge through us. And God begins to go to work. And he begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at the scripture today. This is Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10, talking about not growing weary in doing good. It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, Let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let us not become weary in doing good. This is the time of year. We're in the springtime. If you look all throughout the Old Testament in the Bible, it says, in the spring of the year, when kings go to war, we talked about, we have this reminder. This is the time of year to remember God is fighting for us. Jesus was smitten by God so that God could smite our enemies. He's fighting for us. But some things might be coming at you. It's also the time of year when we sow, when we plant. And a reminder not to grow weary in doing good. If it feels like you're doing good, but you're not quite seeing the harvest yet, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. And as you have opportunities, one of the things we pray in our daily prayer every day, God, send us opportunities to do good today and be a blessing. God, send them every day. There's opportunities to do good every day. And the more we stay focused on these opportunities, the more it helps us to stay encouraged. We've got to keep encouraged in the Lord. So Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for you, for this reminder for us today. And we're asking for your help today to stay encouraged in those times where we're tempted to get down or frustrated. We've been doing good, but we haven't seen the harvest or the breakthrough from it yet. Asking for your help to stay encouraged because we know at the proper time, and you know the proper time. You're never early. You're never late. At the perfect time, we'll reap a harvest. Love always perseveres. We're asking for your help with that today, Lord, to help us to walk in this. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember all that he went through. His body was broken. He was smitten by God. He was crushed by God. He was bruised. He was whipped. He was spit on. Also, that on the other side of this, we could be connected with God. We could have this new covenant with him. We could be right and holy and perfect in God's sight. Our sins can be forgiven. Father, we thank you for this bread. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with God. That's what it's all about. So Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right. Let's talk about some practical application of this, what we're talking about today, into our health and fitness. You know, I've been working with people in the gym setting for 20-something years. And there is a tendency, we all have it. When you're putting in the work, you're doing your workouts, you're eating good, and your body's not totally transformed, you know, in that day or that week or maybe even that month, it takes some time. That's where we have to trust the process. You got to know that if you're doing the right things, you keep taking those steps forward each day, you're doing the right things, not to grow weary in doing good, because in due time, you're going to reap a harvest. And is there a place to make adjustments if, you know, we need to make adjustments? Sure. But if you're doing the right things, just staying consistent in those things, because transformation takes a little bit of time. It's not going to happen in one day. It takes a little bit of time, and staying encouraged in those times when it seems like you're doing the right things, but you're not seeing progress as fast as you'd like it just yet. Staying encouraged during those times. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.